Herzlich willkommen zu Saatkorn, deinem Podcast mit Inspiration für eine bessere Arbeitswelt. Hey folks, this is Gero from Saatkorn, and as you can hear, it's English once again. I have an international guest. I'm super happy to have her today on the show. I met her a few years ago and was super impressed also by her background, but not only the background, also the personality. So she really knows a lot of things about culture, about employer branding, and about what works for employers and what doesn't. But then again, she has a vibrant personality, extraordinary great speaker, and a nice person in general. So I'm super happy to have her here today. It's Claudia Tatanelli from See Your Culture. She's the founder and CEO. And yeah, it's great to have you here at Saatkorn.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. What a wonderful introduction. And now I have to live up to this vibrant personality.
So That's why I said it.
You knew you would, yeah. But yeah.
Let's start with yourself. Where does this fascination for culture, for employer branding come from? How did you start? And why is that still a topic that's so fascinating for you?
But I don't know, both great questions in one. So it started many years ago. I studied philosophy, so probably now that gives it away from the beginning. And I thought when I graduated, well, I'll never find a job that I will love, because I love to think about thoughts and philosophize, and obviously, you know, what moves people, why, how do we think and not. So I thought I'd be a professor, honestly, and I was studying philosophy in Italy, actually German philosophy, that's my favorite one, and yes, madly in love with that, and thought I'd learn German, because obviously it was important. But jokes aside, moved to Sweden, and was the only place where company was this company, research company called Universum, where you could speak English. To be perfectly honest, it was like most careers, right? Just a chance. But then I realized that they were helping companies with this research, trying to help them communicate a little differently when they spoke to students. And I thought, wow, this is amazing, because obviously they were mostly targeted tech talent and business majors. But I thought, what if I at university had really known that my skills could be used for this kind of company or not? Anyways, I found the research of it fascinating, and I felt like I was in a sociology course. I still do, which is why I love it. And that was a long time ago, 28 years ago. And I have to say, it, of course, I believe a lot in insights, and I expanded operations for that company, Universum, in every country from America to Asia. And then, of course, I wanted to know what are they thinking in Africa, then the Middle East, then China, then Russia. Literally, I was called the chief expansion officer at Universum, and then had a global role where I would also work a lot with the local countries. And obviously, as you can understand, fascinated. Then I realized, though, that it wasn't just good enough, the communication aspect for me. I felt like often companies were all of a sudden all big. And I think I helped the people writing the books on employer branding even develop that name. It was called recruiting back then, and, you know, recruitment communication. Now, it became a strategy, but then the problem, it was just a little too much about attracting talent. And then it was only in the hands of those working in talent acquisition. And the problem is, if you go promising something you can't then live, you're really probably doing yourself a disservice. And all of this, started becoming important when, you know, retention issues came up. I think after COVID, more than ever, you really, 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 you know, it's important to attract, recruit, retain, and engage. And that's what employer branding does. So that is a never-ending story. So now I'm not only helping them, you know, with the communication, but I'm also working on the culture side, helping companies uncover what is that essence, what is that real voice that they have, what is that real true personality, and then in the employer branding strategies, bringing it to life. So I don't think I'll ever get bored.
I doubt that too. Also, these topics develop, obviously, due to certain aspects such as demographics, but also technology. So we might dwell on this a little bit later on. What are you really doing with CEO Culture? You founded that, I guess, 6 years ago, something like that.
Yes. So. Yes. So I thought, as you probably know, I sold my part in Universum because I was so fascinated that I became an owner and so on. And I thought, I'm just going to rest. And of course I'm not, because I love this space. And the organization said, oh, Claudia, come and help me. I really need to develop this or that. So I worked on a couple of projects. And at that time, I was feeling very strongly, hence the fascination of this topic, that employer branding was just too much about marketing and not so much about authenticity. And so I decided that whatever I do, whatever project I take on, it has to be with organizations that are willing to be quite courageous and really go and lead with authenticity, with culture. And so I felt like, and in any research, I still build employee value propositions, or like I like to call them, people promises, and love to hear your thoughts on that. But I really want to first uncover how you work, what's the real environment, and build whatever communication from it, and not just anything that will get you the talent in, but that perhaps isn't really going to keep the talent that you want, or perhaps really add that culture add you need to and hire the right people for the organization. Does that answer your question? So that's why I thought I'd be bold. I also really, really felt employer branding needed to focus more on culture. And I thought, okay, since I'm an opinionated person, as you can tell, I'm just going to be bold and go out there. I think it's time to talk about culture. This was 6 years ago. And I think that was right, because I don't know. I mean, I was the only one there. I studied a lot of like what was out there on culture, realized that there was very, very, very little. And I also understood why, because culture changes every day and it's uncomfortable for a company to have a communication on something that changes, especially if you transform, you adding people coming in and people going out. And so, but I said, no, if you're really bold and if you really say you're serious about working on talent and engagement, then let's do this. And I'm just very lucky. I got great projects at the beginning, learned a lot from the best, partnered, and it's been so, so much fun. And obviously now it's so much easier because everyone wants to talk about culture.
That sounds great. And for me personally, you open a big door, because I wrote my diploma thesis about culture.
Did
company
you?
Culture. Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know, 30 years ago or something.
But you didn't translate it in English, because I would have read it then.
No.
Send it
to
me.
But only to say that at least in my train of thought, I would always say culture is everything. You can start with culture and tell a story to convince people to join a company. You can explain why people leave or stay. You can even explain what kind of personalities will be successful in a certain surrounding, etc., etc. And you came up with a framework, and let's just talk a little bit about that one, because to me it's really interesting, your integrated brand cultural model. And there's already the word integrated, so it's holistic, it's an integration of different aspects, which I really like. And I would agree, the employer branding is quite often only seen as external marketing to get somebody into the company, whereas my understanding was always way broader. But let's come to your model. And there is, of course, a lot of relationship to employer branding within the model, but it's a little bit larger as well.
Yes, it is. Because I was very lucky, as I said early on, companies came to me. Obviously, after COVID, everything really, really pivoted, right? I mean, companies had asked people to go way beyond, also really in unhealthy situations where they really questioned. So I had some very big brands in some of the luxury industries coming, saying, you know, we had all our people working because they tripled and quadrupled during that time. But now people are like, they're just not coming to us. They're burnt out. We need to engage them. Actually, someone said we need to re-enchant them. I thought it was a beautiful thing to say. And they said, you need to come and help us. And or then quickly after, we need to go, we need to double in size, right? So we need to transform. How do we bring people? Myself, I had experienced how changes also of ownership can really make you feel like all of a sudden someone's just entered your home and changed the furniture and it doesn't feel like your home anymore. And I know how for someone, especially those very dedicated, there's nothing that feels worse than not belonging. So I also think that just to give you the whole point that diversity, equity, and inclusion in itself was a topic, and now more than ever, always very difficult to keep on the CEO at the agenda. But whenever I spoke about culture to people, they thought, yeah, of course, inclusive culture. But if I said, let's talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, there was a lot of resistance. All of this to say that when you're talking about culture, you're talking about quite a broad thing. It does include your purpose. So culture, you know, and that's important, the why. Often organizations, lately more than ever, they're redesigning them. So I work a lot on that, helping organizations sort of understanding, is your why clear? Has it changed the why you do things, right? Why you exist as an organization, that bigger mission? Why do we know this is important? I think the millennials helped us, right? It was clear that they were like, what's the purpose of the company? This is still very important. Also to me and my generation, I'm more of a Gen Xer. And I wanted to help companies anchor that why also in their employer branding, right, in their communication. So I think you need to start with the why. You need to also understand where the company is going. If you are tripling, quadrupling, if you're downsizing, you know, the mission, are you there now to, you know, offer a variety of industries or not? That also needs to be integrated, because you, with your employer branding, you need to help bring talent who will help you achieve that mission, right? And then ultimately that purpose. So then if you go from there, you need values. You need values that are principles. But principles, values, people always think culture is values. I mean, I want to die when I hear that, but I also know why they're thinking that is because there's not a lot of literature. Values are principles that help you guide you in how you behave and face to society, your customers, and your people. So they're quite high up there, ethics, right, and so on. And they're principles. Obviously, then in action, they're called behaviors, right? But that's really not just about how you behave with your people, the how we work. It deals with how do you do everything? How do you work with your customers? How do you, you know, approach society? Are you a giving? Are you to society or not? Are you involved? And also your people. Now, culture is really answering how we work, right? If purpose is why we exist and mission is what we aim to achieve, our values are our principles, culture is how we work. Now, in employer branding and with the new generations, millennials and Gen Z, they really pushed us to, they wanted to know that, the culture, the how you work. I don't want to know anymore your brand, the prestige. That's come less and less important. It was to my generation. I don't know what you think, Hiro, but my generation, it was important to say, oh, I work at McKinsey, or I work at Goldman, or I work, you know, God, those were, wow. And then everyone is going to look at me differently. Now, this generation is pushing to say, hey, it's how I work. It's the people I work with. It's, you know, are you bold? Are you not? Are you creative? Do you treat people well? Are you inclusive? I want to know that. And, you know, I think brand's a little less important. And so, you know, long story to say, if you follow my logic, you see how they are all integrated. And then based on that, once you understood the why, the what, and the how we work, then of course, the employer branding is your strategy to communicate that to potential and current employees. And it needs to touch your purpose. It needs to also touch upon where we need to go. You need tech people if you're going to be, you know, becoming more, you know, embracing AI even more and that big workforce. So I think it is integrated. And then the other last point is often it's just about employer branding was in the EVPs were just cascaded in the talent attraction moment. So career site, job descriptions, and so on. But actually, that strategy should then be deployed across all the employee experience touch points. So onboarding, it's very, very important. Engagement, recognition, and then learning and development, and then into exit. If we think, and then I promise I'll stop speaking, if we think of IKEA, if we think of Starbucks, we think of companies, not just what they do, but also the how they do it, their culture, right? There is just as important. And these two are unsexy industries that made, you know, very sexy, right? Right? If you think about it, selling coffee or selling cheap or, you know, not expensive furniture, you never would think would become top ideal employers, but they did, because it's the how they do it that is interesting.
Yeah, well, I would agree. And then again, it's also clear if you just reduce it, I say it that way, to HR, it might be too small, because that's one facet of it. Okay. And at the end of the day, it's really a discussion you should have with the C-level. And then from there on, really break it down into the different segments. It might be HR, it might be communication, it might be marketing, whatever it is. And if it was done in this way, then for sure we would not have these issues. Whereas sometimes HR comes up with an employer brand, which is not true. Yeah, that's right. Always difficult, because it was just a facet of the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's seen as that is like that's and I have to be honest, I got very like this. I just did not want to work in employer branding for a while when I left, because I just unfortunately some of the people making the decisions were just really tactical. And that's what recruiting's about. Right. It's not a campaign. I really felt like, you know, the purpose of what our jobs are as communicators is to engage, but on things that are true and that, you know, will move the dial. Don't you agree? And I guess if we get a little older, we need to feel that there is such a purpose. I would also say one thing. I've been very successful in deploying employer branding strategies properly across the touch points. When I realized that who I needed to work with and together with and align with is helping HR perhaps or TA really bridge the gap with internal comms, which generally they are not the best friends. Why? I get it too, because sometimes you've got in TA people who are in charge of employer branding, so communication piece, but don't have the you know, that's not their what they were learning, right? Or they knew. And internal comms going, well, these people don't understand that they're starting another brand that it goes against my corporate brand. And let's be honest, it's king, right? So I love the role I have now when you work with culture, but an employer brand in a strategic way, in an intentional way, you really should and could and can be the best friends of both. And I have built, you know, real good friendships between those two groups who realize that it's the same strategy, but perhaps one's more focused on the external audience in the internal, and only if it's aligned is it successful. Like really, with the world, with employees having more voice, if before we could get away with it, now with people having more voice and having channels and including AI now, which we'll talk in a second about, there is no way you can have a strategy that you're not aligned with the internal comms.
Yeah, that's correct. Let's come to this topic. I mean, you already mentioned it, AI.
Yeah, it's only 20 minutes in. Eh? That usually happens 2 minutes in a conversation.
Yeah, like, good, okay, we managed. Okay. but I want to make the topic a little bit broader. AI might be the synonym for technology these days. Obviously, it's not. It's a part, I would say, which plays a role in almost every or all technology. But I feel that technology becomes so much more important, so much easier and faster to adapt and use, that my question would be, where do you see technology coming in your work? Does it or doesn't it? How are you affected by technology? And I give you an example coming back now, of course, to AI. If you do research, if you develop an employer brand, in the former times, and I guess today as well, it's important to talk to people. So you do interviews, you might ask user groups, and you will do a lot of research. And then you will combine that research and condense it and come up with ideas based upon data at the end of the day. So how does the whole development of technology affect this research part of the work?
That's a great question. And you have no idea how timely it is, because for someone who, I mean, anything I touch technology wouldn't work. You know, this was an interesting one for me. I said, oh man, I think I'm a little too old for this. This is not going to work. And yet I've been so excited by it. so excited by it because I see only, I'm such a techno optimist when it comes to AI. I really see the huge, huge advantages. I think I say that saying that it's for someone like us who have, we know how to critical think already. This is supercharging us, right? To spend a little less time doing some things and just, you know, thinking more, a little like the calculator. I really see the analogy quite a bit. And though I see the risks, but I'm just saying for us, for the younger generation, but for us, this is an enabler, right? So I think, you know, I'm right now, you know, I just mentioned right earlier before we started, I'm on a client site. And I think when it comes to interviews, it depends on what you intend by, you know, when you uncover an employee value proposition, or like I like to call them a people promise or a culture of an organization. There are things you can, you know, absolutely, you know, evaluate, but things you need to feel. It's about the feeling that, you know, a culture has a lot of impact there. I need, you know, when you're developing it, which is why I don't think creative agencies will die. So people say that, I don't think so at all. You need to feel the company. You need to talk to people. You look in the eyes. If someone says passion without light in their eyes or without moving, you know, so there's just a lot of things that when you are uncovering a message or a culture of an organization, shaping it with them, figuring out what they should be, the ambition, there are aspects, especially when you're interviewing leaders to set that are best done in person. And no AI can do that, because, and maybe it'll get better at it, but it can't. But mostly it's what that emotion triggers in you, the writer. And until, you know, they don't do a little more around it, that will not be. So I feel like uncovering messages and being creative in that and at capturing an essence is still something that you'll need a human to do. Where I see AI, oh my God, so valuable. And I shouldn't say this because, as you know, at Universum, it was a lot of research, right? We used to research and bring paper questionnaires on campus. This was something many years ago. Why? Because campus was when a lot of companies did most of their employer branding. Then came Facebook. I will never forget. I advised the Y to be the first one in. Seemed shocking, seemed a little like AI. Why do we use the social media to communicate? Well, they were courageous, and all of us are. Then Instagram, then TikTok. Then, of course, if you are sending a survey out, you should probably also send it through a channel, right? Because that. So now the audiences is there and there and there. Now you've got AI. And let me ask you, Jira, why would I be a student looking for a job? Why would I, first of all, try to find the career site of a company? And it's not easy. Or in that career site, the information I need, it'll take me like 30 minutes. Let's say I'm applying to 20 companies. And I think you see, and then read through the job descriptions. If I want to know what's the best place for me as a finance major, and by the way, let me add in, and I'm looking in these countries and I wanted this and this and that. If I can prompt everything in 3 seconds and then it spits me out something, don't I mean,
it's obvious. You will do it.
But it wasn't so obvious to me, right? When I realized that, I thought, oh my God, here we are as employer branding strategists, right? Or communication, culture communicators, telling companies to, and we still, the career site's absolutely important in the funnel, in the last minute. I'm going to go and do more research. But this AI just was like, wow, when I thought I was bored again, I wasn't. And I thought, oh my goodness, so I need to help organizations understand how to show up on this prompt, and what are the prompts, and then where does it go, and what are the new channels. So I'm having so much fun. And I also think when it comes to research, I want to know my AI sentiment. I want to know what's the message, my message. So long story short, like you are, I'm sure, because I know you to be such a progressive man, we are developing a lot of AI sentiment analysis. And I did it, you know, typical old lady. I said, well, I don't believe it until I see it. I'm going to do one the old style way and send out the survey and how I think it's going to go. I know a person, and then I'm going to do it like this. And I did it 5 times. That's how skeptical I was that the quality would be the same. And it was even better on the other. So the truth is, unless we don't evolve our mindset and also understand there's a new kid on the block, this one is there to stay, even for me, and it was much faster, and figure out, you know, I think we're missing out. So AI is amazing. Now I know more, and then I can spend more time on the strategy, and I can segment and so on. So I think it's incredible.
Yeah, I would agree. There's a lot of development going on. And as you said, I mean, if you want to really get a feeling for a company, you should go there and really talk to people. That's for sure. Also these days.
Yeah, but
also
what do you think? Yeah, I mean,
I think the same way in 5 years from now. But to really underlie the feeling that you have with a lot of more data, you can really do a lot of things with AI. Right. And come up with faster suggestions and faster hypotheses to really check.
Right? And it challenges you. It's like having, for me, it's like having 20 other colleagues who are, you know, following my thought and they were creatively going. So in the refinement of things, it's unbelievable, right?
Yes. Yeah,
you
yeah.
have to always, you know, be careful with the prompts. And so I think, you know, we're all, we are becoming creative, prompt creatives, and I love it.
There's one very interesting thing. I don't want to dwell on this, but you mentioned it already. How do people get attracted by a company? And if you talk about a student 10 years ago, if the company had a great employer brand, a good careers website, and a great SEO strategy, chances were high that you get the right target group. These days, it's not sure anymore because most of the students, they don't Google for it. They will go to ChatGPT.
Yep. It's GI.
Gemini,
right?
Or whatever.
Generative, AI. I think from SEO to that, it's a complete, a change. I mean, I was at a conference that said job boards will soon die, right? Because it'll all be done by ChatGPT. I mean, I think there's so much to say, but why would, and I don't either. I can go so quickly do a search. I think everything from corporate brand to employer brand is going to be completely a new game, a new channel. Let's put it this way. It's a new channel to monitor rather than make it bigger than what it is. It is a channel we all use right now for everything. And we need as a company to understand what influences how we appear there. So it is the new SEO, but I would call it generative AI, right?
Oh, that's however. Geo nowadays.
Geo, it is. And it's Reddit. It's Glassdoor. It's actually new player on the ground that had not, and it's authentic, right? It's much more sentiment-based of employees. So, now you're called even more to the test to make sure you're great places. Because if you don't have enough employees telling good things about you, you literally will not show up as a great employer as much as before. It won't be about your brand recognition. It's about what your employees saying about you as an employer. So you know what? Maybe it's making us more real.
It's that. And there's also that third-party pages that talk good about you also play a major role.
Yes, they do.
And of course, you can buy that, but this will get extensively expensive. Or you have a great employer brand. People will talk about it and
websites
will write about it.
You could always put money to it. Wonderful. But then isn't the game still only about attracting there and not retaining? But or you realize, right? It's but that's exactly how we used to think. Now you go, well, so maybe there's going to be more money pumped into internal communication. So, this is the topic about employer branding. But have you seen how many fewer titles on employer brand manager and how many more culture and people? I would almost claim that employer brand leaders are culture communicators, should be. I mean, there is no real difference, to be perfectly honest.
I don't know about the international discussion of this. I'm sure that there is one. You will know for sure.
Yep.
But in Germany, the last years, there was always this discussion, should it be called HR, human resources, or people and culture?
Yeah.
And you said it before we started the recording session here, that wording really makes a difference. And I would strongly agree on that.
I mean, I think HR has, first of all, human resources, human capital. Come on. We don't want to be seen as capital, nor as a resource. So, and that's also why EVP, let's talk about words matter, employee, that used to be employer, if you remember, but now employee value proposition. When you show EVP to a corporate comms person or even a CEO, do you really think they know what an EVP stands for?
You have to explain it.
Yeah, you have to explain it. And also, it sounds like value proposition. If you work with any big brand, they don't want any other than one value proposition. That's your consumer one. So the truth is, it was just a bad choice of naming for something that's people comms. It's a people communication. Sometimes it's going externally. Sometimes it's going to internally. And sometimes it's going towards those who are about to leave us that we want them to be our ambassadors. But it is focused, the center actor, our people.
Yeah, right? I like that. Last thing I wanted to address, time flies, but I expected that with you. In terms of the differences different regions of the world. I mean, you're working pretty much globally. Do you see areas where there's more openness to this new way of thinking compared to others? Or would you say, no, there's no real regional or national differences?
Do you mean when it comes to embracing AI and the new, tell me, or?
No. What you are doing, see your culture, your approach.
Culture. You know, that's a great question. I think countries like the UK, I think, or, you know, others where it is very embedded, you know, there are people, a lot of in the talent attraction space, there's, you know, big industry. I think they don't want to move it. They want to keep employer brand, right? Because there's a whole industry around it, which I was part of. I think I built it too. So I'm attached to it. I'm still am. I just think they don't understand that it's a strategy, that it does include internal comms. And so unless we enlarge it and bring that group in, we can't just stay marginalized to external, right? I think in the Middle East, it's amazing. They've always led with culture because it's new. Right. And so all of a sudden you've got a lot of cultures involved. So, you know, I'd say that very multicultural environments, I've always had to work a little on the culture aspect of inclusion, of bringing together. And so they have quite developed things, and I've learned. I'd almost say, though, it is more to do with industries in the different regions rather than countries, because you know, there are some that are very new to this concept of culture, but then there's some that, you know, are very much about, you know, their people are their product. So they have been, you know, realizing that engaging, not just attracting, but keeping it motivated and there was as important as bringing it in the first place. So I don't know if I, you know, answered your question, but I mean, every country is super, super fascinating.
Well, for the time that we have here now, I didn't expect a comprehensive answer to every aspect of it. But what you just said, it might not be the nationalities, it might be more the different businesses. So that's really interesting. Yeah. So
we talk about that another time, but that is a very interesting one. Because if culture is about the purpose, the mission, think about pharma. They have a strong purpose, right? So obviously, so yeah, but for another conversation.
Absolutely. Last question for today. You know that Zatkorn has the claim inspiration for a better working world, and you see so many people, you do so many projects. What inspired you personally lately?
I think AI. It has me so fascinated. And I'm sorry, probably the least interesting because it's everyone, but you asked me what inspired me. It inspires me. It makes me think even more of many more possibilities. So my brain it doesn't have the limits it used to, you know, that used to weigh on it. So I literally thinking that the game has changed, and it's inspiring me to really think. I think maybe now we can start doing HR, changing the name and doing it better, skills, everything. So for me, it's unleashing all possibilities again.
All right. That's great. That's inspiring in itself. So thank you for taking the time. It was a pleasure talking to you. I hope we will follow on with this discussion in the future. Have a nice day. And
thank you
so much.
Ciao, ciao. And what a pleasure speaking to you always. Ciao, everyone.
Ciao.
So, das war diese Saatkorn-Podcast-Episode. Ich hoffe, dir hat Spaß gemacht und sie hat dir gefallen. Bevor ich jetzt hier rausgehe, noch ein kleiner Tipp für dich. Abonniere doch kostenlos meinen Saatkorn-Newsletter. Dann gibt es jeden Sonntag alle Podcasts, alle News, alle Artikel, alle Verlosungen, alles, was ich auf Saatkorn so mache, gratis in dein Mailpostfach und du hast bequem alles an einem Ort und verpasst nichts mehr. Das Ganze kostet, wie gesagt, nichts. Den Link zum Abo gibt's in den Shownotes. Würde mich freuen, wenn wir uns da wieder treffen. Ganz lieben Dank und bis bald. Ciao.